morning. It is time to get up with the Purdy Party. Brock rocks. And the Niners roll. Are they now the team to beat in the NFC, especially after this? The D in Big D stands for Diggs Dunn. Devastating for Dallas. Does this do that? Defense in. Plus, oh, what a weekend. College showdowns. Everything at stake. We'll get you ready for what could be the biggest games of the year. As we get up with you starting right now, it's Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And we are ready to go on a Friday. Look how sharp we got. But Bartholomew, looking good.
No, that was for you.
We got the team ready to go here. We got Chris Canty coming today. We got Ryan Clark coming today. We're going to be busy, and it begins with last night in San Francisco. It wasn't pretty for the Giants. No Saquon Barkley, and that was only part of the problem. Out with a high ankle sprain. The bigger problem, Bartholomew, was named Nick Bosa. Here comes his first sack of the year.
Listen, when healthy, you talk about, you know, struggling, not having a sack in six games. Getting one makes him feel good.
And then Brock Purdy on the other side. In such control of the offense. Great touchdown pass, Ronnie Bell. Niners a 10-3 lead. And then the unstoppable Christian McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey, people don't give him enough credit for how tough he can run in between the tackles. He's the most complete back in all of football.
12 straight games with a touchdown for him. Niners up 17-6 at the half. The Giants making it a bit of a game in the third quarter. That's Matt Breida. In for the score, they go for the two, they don't get it, so it's 17-12, but then Purdy taking over. Debo Samuel and Bart, where's the tackling?
I tell you what, that's the problem. We don't tackle in practice anymore. He's one of the best, you know, players. We talk about that yak run after catch. He's one of the best to do it, and San Francisco hangs their hat on it.
Six catches, 129 yards, and a touchdown for Debo. Here comes another one. Look at the nice adjustment he makes on this ball. Great touchdown in the corner.
I mean, he's one of the toughest guys off the line of scrimmage. He's physical. Reminds me of an Anquan Boldin. He's one of the guys with the 50-50 catches. Doesn't matter. He doesn't see you.
Purdy, 310 yards passing, two touchdowns, 4 minutes to go, third and 17 Giants. They had next to no offense on this night. 150 total yards of offense. And then this one off the chest of Darren Waller, intercepted. And so Daniel Jones throws for just 137, and the Niners wind up winning easily. 30-12 is your final score. Now, this was one that was somewhat easy to see coming in many ways, right? I mean, the Giants short week on the road, everything else staying out west. No Saquon. They didn't have their left tackle. And yet it was a deflating night. And it has a lot of people in New York that I know. We'll start with them before we work our way to the Niners and the Cowboys. Wondering, did we make a mistake paying our quarterback all that money?
Absolutely, Greedy. And here's why. Well, you're paying him $40 million a year, and you're on a short week, and you're missing your left tackle, your left guard, your running back. Show greatness. Make those around you better. And by the way, he's getting paid 40 times more than the other quarterback, and he was outplayed by Brock Purdy.
Why are you looking at him like that, Bartholomew?
I mean, because at some point, your players have to make plays. How many times we see Darren Waller when there was an opportunity to make a great catch for your quarterback, your offseason acquisition, one that's supposed to be one of the best pass-receiving tight ends in the game, let him down. This is the guy that wheeled you from a 21-point deficit last week. Listen, we knew that it was going to be tough sledding, but come on, man. Other guys have to show up and make plays for their quarterback.
Danny, beaten up by maybe the two best defenses in the league so far, right, in San Francisco and Dallas. So the schedule couldn't have started any worse for Daniel Jones and the Giants. Look, if you didn't think they should have paid Daniel Jones in March, and there are plenty of Giants fans who don't, and at the time didn't, then this obviously supports your argument. But it has been a rough start to the season. A lot working against them last night. I think it's too soon to make that kind of conclusion about Daniel Jones.
But Greedy, that's the exact point. Like, if we're running the Giants and we're paying him $40 million a year, it is to go beat Dallas. It is to go
with
beat
who?
Yeah,
you make
players around
with
him.
Who? Name one.
Well, it should have been Darren Waller. It should have been Jalen Hyatt.
So they got to do their part, too. One beautiful model once said he can't throw it and catch it.
Right. The point you're trying to make is the Giants are just a bad football team, despite the fact that they made the playoffs last year and everything else went better than we thought it would.
They're not in the same stage of their development as San Francisco is, right? Like, they're still putting it together, and I think they knew that going into the season. Now, obviously, it couldn't have looked any worse so far offensively. The one stat, they had 150 yards of total offense. The 49ers had 201 yards after the catch.
Right.
Like that was that's those are two very, very different teams.
Let me just ask a simple question, though. Take the rosters away, take all the money away, take everything else away. If I told you right now you could either have Daniel Jones or Brock Purdy as the quarterback of your team, which one would you take?
Daniel Jones.
You would.
Could you imagine Daniel Jones in that offense?
Yeah.
With his ability to stand the ball. You're talking about a quarterback that can't. Yeah, you talk about a quarterback that can't push the ball effectively 30 yards down the field. He's beating you. He's beating you with a jab. Right, Brock Purdy doesn't have the ability to, in the skill set that Daniel Jones has. He just listen. Environment matters, Greeny. Environment matters.
Yes.
Different flowers grow better in different environments.
Bart, but so his experience started over 40 games at Iowa State. He plays fast with his feet.
So
he plays
did Daniel
fast.
Jones.
Yeah, and last night Brock Purdy was 20 of 31 and 2 touchdowns against the blitz. When you could do that as an NFL quarterback. You have a chance to win a lot.
His
of
anticipation.
Let's see him anywhere
smart.
Else. Let's see him anywhere else.
They want him to do.
They're going to tell you how much they love him. I know he makes $900,000 right now. They're going to tell you how much they love him when it comes time to pay him. Let's see if they pay him like Daniel Jones.
I'll
or
say
if they
this.
Say, you know, it's the system.
I know what Jimmy Garoppolo is getting paid. They look better when he quarterbacks them than they did when Garoppolo did. I know they used to win all the time with Garoppolo. The offense looks better. They're playing without Brandon Ayuk last night.
It's because
Christian McCaffrey is a pretty big
right.
Difference, right?
Like,
I'm not saying no. And they didn't have, the Giants didn't have Saquon. This is not about burying Daniel Jones. Maybe it is about saying that the 49ers are just exceptional. And the question is, are they the best team in the NFC? And yesterday, there were two reasons to wonder that. One was their game. The other is what happened in Dallas, where the Super Bowl hopes of the Cowboys may have taken a major hit. Their star corner, Trayvon Diggs, one of the absolute best players at his position in the league, suffered a season-ending torn ACL in his left knee during practice. Could anything be more brutal? His production has been off the charts. Over the last three seasons, Diggs has 15 interceptions. That's the most in the NFL. He's held opposing quarterbacks to a passer rating of 63. That is the lowest in the NFL by any defensive back. He is a flat-out elite player, and down he goes for the season again in a practice drill. I guess it doesn't really matter how a player gets hurt, but it just feels somehow worse when it happens in practice. Describe the significance. A defensive player all your life, how would you describe the importance of that to a defense that looks like the best in the NFL?
Significant, right? You talk about a team that plays man-to-man 50% of the snaps, right? And they lean on him. Remember, they had to bring in Stephon Gilmore because the other guy was getting picked on. Now you're going to give me a fish if I'm the opposing team, right? All they play is single high with a low rat player and kind of free the linebackers up. And they play it at a very high level, but it's all based on the fact on the outside, you feel like you can lock down the opposing team's dynamic wide receivers. The problem is now when you have Stephon Gilmore, he's a guy of a certain age, and now you're going to put all this pressure on him to keep up with the best wide receivers in the league. No plays off. Let's see if his body breaks down because he's a guy that's, you know, a little bit older, and that's going to get his snap count up in a degree of difficulty for him.
The silver lining is they feel like they have depth at the position, right? They got Jordan Lewis, who played last week for the first time in almost a year, had a significant foot injury last October. So he's coming back at what turns out to be just the right time. Deron Bland, a player that had 5 interceptions for them last year. So Dallas really feels like it has a deep defensive group. Don't get me wrong. This is not like, oh, next man up. Diggs is a super important player for them. The contract they gave him tells you that. But they do feel like on defense they have enough depth that this isn't the end of their season. And then you haven't even talked about the pass rush, which I think Mike T wants to.
Exactly. That's the old axiom. When you have questions about your secondary, which now they do, it's their pass rush that could cover up, starting with obviously Micah Parsons. They are beyond dominant across the board up front. So the biggest problem losing Diggs is he turns the ball over. I think they'll be okay. As Dan mentioned, they also have Noah Igbinoghi that they got from Miami, but they're not going to get the interceptions that Diggs was able to get.
So the interesting thing that I saw in the notes this morning, and Bart, you're already shaking your head, the Cowboys Super Bowl odds did not move based upon this injury. If this had been Micah Parsons, I don't even like saying that out loud, but if it had been, I believe their odds would have moved.
The look
on your face suggests to me this is a really important injury.
I broke down the entire game last week against the Jets, and it was cover one. It was because on the outside, Garrett Wilson and Lazar couldn't get open. They're going to have an issue when they go against teams that have two stars, right? Because now
you're talking about the Cowboys defense.
Yes.
Now, if the other team has two top-level receivers.
Like Philadelphia.
Like the Eagles.
Philadelphia.
Right.
So now you got to try and lean. And because those guys are so great on the outside, you know what they were doing, what Dan Quinn was doing, where he would blitz the nickel, right? He adds 5 to the blitz, and it allows him to do all these, you know, crazy line stunts. They use Michael Parsons like the Steelers used to lose Polamalu. They tell him, find a gap. He has no responsibility, and everybody covers for him. Now, with that being said, you talk about the front end and the back end is always tied together. So when you talk about, okay, now I have guys that's getting winning on the line of scrimmage, now that pass rush isn't as significant because quarterbacks can get the ball out of their hands in 2.5 seconds because I don't care what you say about these backups, they aren't Diggs. That's why he got the check.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, he's not a replaceable piece, but they have people to go in there and play.
But so many times the season comes down to, how good are your backup corners? How good is your backup center? I mean, this is the whole league, right? Inevitably, this will happen to every single team at some point.
And you hope it's not.
I hope it's people you can replace.
How well equipped are you to weather these kinds of losses when they happen?
Cromartie was great, right? Cromartie was great. He wasn't Darrell Revis.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah, and he didn't have to be, but we were able to go get it at Antonio Cromartie. The problem, as Dan just alluded to, Greeny, there are just not corners out there, a guy like Bradley Roby, not household names. So, you know, if you lose a quarterback, you lose a corner, those are harder positions to fill in season than others.
That is three brutal injuries we've seen in the first 3 weeks of the season. The Jets lose their quarterback, the Browns lose their running back, and now the Cowboys lose a corner, and week three has only just begun. But so as of this moment, and we'll have all morning to talk about this, if we feel like there were three teams that have really separated themselves in the NFC, the Eagles, we give them the benefit of the doubt at 2-0. Niners are now 3-0. Cowboys are 2-0 and looking unbelievable. Right now, Bart, who's the best team in the NFC to you?
I mean, I always had San Francisco to begin with just because of the play calling and the physicality. You know, all those teams, both, all three of them are both physical as well, but I had San Francisco with the slight edge.
Danny? I would give it to San Francisco at this point. I think it's great they're playing Dallas in 2 weeks.
I like Dallas because I think the way they're playing offense right now, the opponent's going to have to beat them. They're not going to have the self-inflicted wound. They outplayed San Francisco in that playoff game last year until Dak threw those two picks. So yeah, we're going to see in 2 weeks, but I like Dallas.
2 weeks from Sunday night, which is October 8th, they will play Cowboys and Niners in San Francisco, one of the big games of the year. Meanwhile, coming up next year, maybe the biggest college weekend of the year, and we'll get you set for the primetime test for Dion. The Buffaloes, huge underdogs. Can they pull off another shocker? Plus, oh, what a mess in Chicago. Are the Bears ruining Justin Fields, or is most of this his fault to begin with? We'll get into that. And then, oh, no! Did you see what happened to our beloved pal Stephen A. yesterday? The first pitch. I'm going to tell you exactly what he did wrong. It isn't his fault. Next.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Get Up is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, and in part by One Key Rewards on any way you travel. All right, yesterday, our buddy Stephen A. Smith had the great honor of throwing out the first pitch at a Yankee game. The attempt did not go the way he would have liked. Let's take a quick look at this. Ooh, and that's well short, unfortunately, as you can see there. I'm going to explain to you in a minute exactly what he did wrong. I wish he had talked to me ahead of time. First off, let's hear from Stephen A. afterwards on his thoughts.
There's no excuse. There's no excuse. It was a choke job. I could do better than that. It was a choke job, and Stephen A. choked a little bit. I just did. It was straight, but damn it, I could do better than that.
All right, he's upset. Here's what I'm going to tell you. So here you see him warming up, right? And he throws the ball, and it's short. Having done this many times, I'm telling you right now, what you don't know until you do it is that when you're standing on top of the mound, the first step you take is straight down. And so he doesn't realize that he's coming straight down. So what you cannot do if you don't know how to do it, there's Mike and me throwing out, I think this was, what stadium is that? I think that's Cleveland.
Yeah.
And so what you got to do is that. Don't try and step into it. Don't throw a pitch.
Are those Deion Sanders sunglasses?
I would be happy to wear them from him. The point is, if you have never done it before, you don't realize that you are stepping straight down. It does not mean Stephen A. can't throw a pitch. Dan Orlovsky is crushing him for making fun of him running out of the end zone. What do we think of this? Bart, why are you making that face?
He let all the brothers down, man. All the brothers down, man. We already don't play baseball. You didn't inspire any kids to pick up baseball, man. No kids are picking up a baseball today because of Stephen A. You embarrassed us all in front of everybody.
All right.
We got to have a meeting. We're having a meeting.
Oh, Molly's going to be all over him. She already tweeted on First Take today. So we will see what happens with that. Meanwhile, this might be the best college football weekend we've seen in a very long time. Let me count the ways. In the SEC, we got a monster game between Ole Miss and Alabama. The Tide, as you know, have already lost a game, another, and for all intents and purposes, their chances of making the playoff are over. Saturday night, prime time, two powerhouses of the sport will take the stage. Ohio State at Notre Dame, Irish having beaten the Buckeyes since 1936. But their quarterback, Sam Hartman, has been spectacular. That gives them the chance. And then, of course, the talk of this sport faces its biggest challenge so far. Colorado at Oregon. Buffaloes are 3-touchdown underdogs. They've not beaten a top 10 team on the road since 1995. So let's dive into this here. Heather is up with us early. She's on her way to Notre Dame. Desmond is already there for College Game Day tomorrow. But Des, let's start with the Colorado game and Deion Sanders' team. What is the recipe for them to pull off what would be an enormous upset at Oregon tomorrow?
Well, you know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were looking at a TCU team that was highly ranked, and they were about to host Colorado. And Colorado was probably like a 3-touchdown underdog. So how was they going to pull off this huge upset on the road? Well, first and foremost, they got off to a fast start. They took the crowd out of the game. It was like a shootout. It was like, you know, fast offense against fast offense. So that's the key first for Colorado. Austin Stadium, that's a quaint, loud, very loud stadium that they play in Oregon. So they want to take the crowd out the game. Make sure they eliminate turnovers. You don't want to turn the ball over on the road. I tell you what, as a fan, though, I just feel so cheated that we're not going to see Travis Hunter, the two-way superstar for Colorado in this game. So I think defensively, they're going to have to play like a lot of zone, a shell coverage, and keep Oregon's offense in front of them. So I think getting off to a fast start, no turnovers, and then great defense, keeping everything in front of them is a recipe for success for Colorado.
Yeah, I failed to mention, but Hunter out for this game and several others probably with that bad injury we all saw on Saturday night. Heather, how would you describe their chances? Again, they're 3-touchdown underdogs. They're playing without one of their best players. The whole world, it feels like the entire world is pulling for them to keep this story going. How do they do it?
Well, Greeny, I spoke to a coach who played against Oregon this season to get a scouting report on the Ducks, and his quote to me was, Shedeur Sanders is going to have to play his best damn game in order for them to have a chance. He also told me that Colorado's defense has to get Bo Nix off of his mark and know where his top wide receiver, Troy Franklin, is on every third down. And the final point that he made to me was that they've got to attack Oregon's secondary because that's their weakness, but the Ducks can make up for it with their ability to stop the run and get after the quarterback.
All right, I want to get to the Saturday night game in South Bend, which is where, again, Des is, and Heather, you'll be there as well. You know the college football playoff selection process better than literally anyone. Which team needs this game tomorrow night more for their chances?
Greeny, I'm going with Notre Dame because obviously they don't have a conference championship game to play in. And so the bar in the selection committee meeting room is higher for independence than any team that doesn't win its conference title. That means everybody in the room has to think Notre Dame is unequivocally one of the four best teams in the country, even if they lose to Ohio State. Now, that means they have to run the table. Marcus Freeman knows that. This schedule is tailor-made to impress the selection committee. But they've got really one margin for error. That's one loss. So if they lose this game, the pressure's on.
Dez, what's the most important factor in this game tomorrow night?
I think the most important factor in this game tomorrow night is to be able to establish the run and stop the run. I was at Notre Dame's practice yesterday. I spoke to several coaches. And despite the fact that Marvin Harrison Jr. is an exceptional talent at the wide receiver position, he's never taken over a big game. He's never been the focal point of their offense. He's like an added bonus, but he's not like the big piece. The big piece is the running game, Trevion Henderson. And they have like a stable of running backs. And if you know anything about Ryan Day, especially on the road, he's going to want to establish the run. So the X factor is if at the line of scrimmage, in the trenches, if Notre Dame can hold up defensively, their front seven against Ohio State's offensive line, and if they can stop the run.
And then very quickly, I only have 60 seconds, but I want to get both of you on this game. It feels like an enormously important day for Nick Saban tomorrow at home against Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss. Dez, how do you see the game? Super quick.
It's a carousel of quarterbacks for Nick Saban. We've heard him talk about the quarterbacks, never heard him sound so depressed about a quarterback situation in my life. I think this game is huge for them, and I think they should be on upset alert at home.
Heather, what do you think?
I'm going with Ole Miss in this game. They got bigger problems at Alabama than their quarterback. Their offensive line has allowed more sacks than any other team in the Power 5 conference. And Jackson Dart is throwing big-time plays over 20 yards. And guess what the Texas defense did? Alabama's defense did against Texas. They allowed 6 plays over 20 yards.
It's going to be awesome to watch. Heather will be there tomorrow. Now I know it's fall because Dez has the sweater working. He's got the sweater on, so we know it's no longer summer. We'll see you tomorrow again. College game day will be in South Bend tomorrow. We've got great games tomorrow. ABC, ESPN app, Florida State, Clemson, everything in the world at stake early there. And then we got Coach Prime. We got the Colorado game against Oregon. That's late tomorrow afternoon. Spectacular Saturday of college football is on the way. We'll go back to the NFL next. Does Zach have any chance to get back on track against Belichick and the Patriots? Both teams are desperate. Who winds up on top? Plus, what the actual heck is going on in Chicago? It's a dumpster fire, but who's to blame? We'll hand out the problems next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're watching Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook.
Giants take on the San Francisco 49ers on Thursday Night Football.
They throw it towards the end zone. It is caught! San Francisco! Daniel Jones back, gets hit, and he is sacked!
Oh, my God.
Inside gun run to McCaffrey. CMC! Here's Purdy going to throw one deep for Debo. Made the catch on the back shoulder, and the route is on now.
It's huge for us to be 3-0 and have momentum. We just want to keep winning.
Niners win and cover on Thursday night, in case you didn't see it. Giants have been outscored by 55 points this season, fourth worst point differential through three games in franchise history. Now, they haven't started 1-2 and gone on to make the playoffs since 2007. I want to cover that again quickly. Chris Canty is covering his eyes.
Hide your eyes, man. Hide your eyes.
I mean, back brothers who did it.
Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, coast to coast every weekday morning. We are delighted to have him in here for a few minutes here. We've missed you, big fella, but we're happy that things are going well. Let me take you through a few things that we touched on earlier and just get takes from you. Let's start with that. Giants, Daniel Jones, fans are grumbling. Mike T is talking about how if they're going to pay him that kind of money, he needs to be able to elevate the talent around him. What are your thoughts on the Giants and their quarterback?
Well, the Giants were missing their two best players on offense and arguably the two best players on the team, Andrew Thomas, All-Pro, and then Saquon Barkley. I'm not sure that there was much more that Daniel Jones can do because the 49ers are the most complete team in the National Football League. Last night, they won the physical battle. They beat the Giants pillar to post, and there are five indicators in the National Football League that would tell you whether or not a team won the physical battle. It's rush differential, it's sack differential, yards after catch, yards after contact, and red zone efficiency. Last night, the 49ers outrushed the New York Giants 141-29. They were tied with sacks, but they had yards after catch 99 for the 49ers, 14 for the Giants. Yards after contact 57 to the Giants 19. And then, of course, the 49ers scored two red zone touchdowns to the Giants, one red zone touchdown. You win the majority of those indicators, you're going to put yourself in a position to win a lot of football games. And that's exactly what the San Francisco 49ers are right now. They are the bullies on the block, not the Dallas Cowboys, not the Philadelphia Eagles. And so I just think they're the team to beat when it comes to supremacy in the NFC.
Okay, because the Cowboys, we talked about this earlier, they lose Trayvon Diggs yesterday, devastating blow to their defense. They'll be in San Francisco 2 weeks from Sunday night for what should be an enormous game. And I feel like you kind of just answered it, but in your mind right now, you have the Niners at the top of the heap in that conference, even before the Trayvon Diggs injury.
Yeah, because styles make fights. Bart Scott knows this. He's a big boxing fan. If you look at the last two matchups when it mattered the most between these two teams in the last two postseasons, the 49ers won the physical battle. They are by far the more physical of the two teams, and the Cowboys losing Trayvon Diggs is not going to help the cause. Trayvon Diggs over the last 3 years has held opposing quarterbacks to the lowest passer rating of any defensive back in the National Football League. That's a huge loss. Now, I'm not going to say that the Cowboys can't overcome it because we know that rush and coverage work together. Their pass rush is elite. It's the best in the National Football League, quite literally, when it comes to the number of sacks, when it comes to pass rush win rate. They're second in pressure percentage behind the San Francisco 49ers, but I think that pass rush for the Dallas Cowboys can help the guys on the back end fill in for Trayvon Diggs. Here's the deal. As long as that secondary for the Dallas Cowboys don't allow any quick catch and run opportunities for big plays, they're going to be fine because quarterbacks are not going to have time to get the ball to those receivers on those downfield routes.
All right, so we caught up with all these guys on those two topics off the beginning. Next, I want to get to something we haven't gotten to yet today, but the entire football world was talking about yesterday. The bad news Bears, Justin Fields struggling again. Week two, sacked six times, two interceptions. Wednesday, he held not one but two press conferences. Yesterday, general manager Ryan Poles trying to address all of the fallout.
No one took it personally. Like, we all know we have a hand in our success, and we want him to be successful, and it takes everyone for him to be successful, including himself. And I thought he kind of hit on all of that. So it was no shock to anyone.
All right, we haven't heard from Bartholomew on this yet. I'll start with you. Bart, your take on Justin Fields, the comments, and the week that was in Chicago, which has been a disaster of near biblical proportion.
I didn't see anything wrong with the comments. I think, you know, it's easy to get clickbait when you actually listen to the actual interview in its totality. You see that he was just basically just talking about where he is, and maybe he's overthinking. You talk about a guy who's had two coaches in 3 years. You talk about a guy that's in a new system that's trying to be something and fight away against his natural nature to be an athlete. Last year, he depended on his legs, and we heard Ryan Poles in the offseason talk about he wants to see what he can do inside of the pocket. So maybe he's trying to fight to stay in the pocket because that's what he's being coached to do, and not giving up on plays when they're not there and getting those yak yards like we see every other quarterback when plays break down. And he's in a fight with himself about trying to be the player that he is and the player that they want him to be.
Dan, you made that point strongly in our meeting this morning that, at least in your opinion, his comments were not properly received.
No, they weren't. And I think that's why he had to call the reporters back in and explain himself. But I thought that was really impressive of him, because what he said, he wasn't mad like that they you know, took one word and ran with it. He said, I'm going to continue to be honest with you guys, but in the future, I'd really like it if you put it in the right context. Some did, others didn't. But yeah, that as a reporter, I kind of cringed, because it's like, this is why these guys don't like to talk to us, right? Yep. Like, he was trying to explain what was going on. And they said, why do you think, you know, you're overthinking things in the game? And, you know, coaching, and he talked about how his next words were, they're doing their job, giving me the things I need to pay attention to. But his point is, he may be taking too much of that into game day and not just sort of letting it, you know, the muscle memory take over. So I felt it was a young man being honest about his struggles. I talked to their offensive coordinator, Luke Getsy, in the offseason. I talked about the development of Fields. He said, the thing is, you know, last year, new offense, think about it like a college. Last year, we were in 101 level classes. Mm-hmm. This year, it's 201 level classes. He's still a ways from graduating.
That was Luke Getsy, by the way, that Justin Fields was making a point of hugging yesterday in front of all the cameras, lest that not be clear. That said, Chris Canty, you heard the comments. Dan Orlovsky sat here yesterday and said, you can't say that as the quarterback, no matter what the circumstances are. What did you think of it?
Yeah, Justin Fields deserves all the smoke, because you can't get in front of the media and say, well, yeah, the coaching staff might be the reason why I'm paying like a robot, and give the media no other plausible explanation as to why you might have poor play. Now, I'm not trying to absolve the Chicago Bears of their fault in failing to develop franchise quarterbacks properly. I mean, you look at the 2000s, Cade McNown, Rex Grossman, Mitch Trubisky. I mean, the Chicago Bears have shown that they don't have the ability to develop a quarterback. They haven't put Justin Fields in the right situation. But that doesn't mean that Justin Fields doesn't need to be accountable. And forget about the play calling and the scheme that Luke Getsy has. I just want some accountability from Justin Fields for not making mistakes that a quarterback in year three shouldn't make. Like being backed up in the shadow of your own goal line in the fourth quarter in a three-point ball game and throwing an interception to Shaq Barrett on a screenplay. Forget about calling the same play a couple of times in a row. If you see a muddy picture, if you can't see your intended receiver, you don't throw that ball. Those are mistakes that Justin Fields shouldn't be making, and I'm just wondering where we're going to hear the accountability on that part of it.
I feel like if you listen to everything he says, you could not possibly reach the conclusion that he's not accountable. I think you see here what he says during the week, you hear what he says after games. He does seem to be handling all of that. What he doesn't handle is when the game starts and he can't find the open receiver.
To me, the real culpability here is the scheme and the system.
Yes.
They've had five design runs, as Dan Orlovsky mentioned yesterday. And Bart, CeCe, you guys know, as defensive players, when the opposing quarterback can make plays with his feet, it puts an enormous amount of pressure on the defense.
Yes.
That will help the passing game. Now, look, can he clean up what he said? Absolutely. But if you play better, all this noise will go away.
No, you're right about that, Mike T, and I guess you want the player to use his athletic ability and rely on his instincts, but where's the part about trying to get Justin Fields to adopt the style of play that's going to let him finish an entire regular season? He has yet to play a full regular season because he's been banged up.
Hurst played that same game. Yeah, Lamar Jackson plays that same game. They have to do a better job to get better players.
Exactly, but they're having team success. That's the point. Those teams get to the playoffs. Jalen Hurts in his two full seasons as a starter, in the playoffs. Justin Fields ain't getting nowhere close. What is he, 5-22? He's 5-22 as a starter, Bart.
Environment
so something
matters.
Has to change
environment
in terms
matters.
Of what he's doing.
Environment matters, right? Look where he is. You just talked about the incompetence of those teams in that organization. You talk about two guys that went to the Baltimore Ravens in the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. Environment matters. And it is not indicative of the player that he is. It's the environment and situation in which he finds himself in. And I think he's going to find himself in maybe a Sam Darnold type of situation where you have a staff and you have a front office that did not draft him. They're going to have two high first-round draft picks, and he's going to be moved somewhere, and maybe he has a better chance.
Greedy, watching Ryan Poles, that's exactly right what Bart's saying. If I'm Ryan Poles, I'm thinking about Caleb Williams, Drake May, and everybody else that's coming out next year.
Because he's in his third year, you got to make a decision and pay him.
They had that chance, right? Like, they had the one pick, and they decided to go with Fields, so they do have some level of faith in him. I think the team success point is the key one, right? Because people want to say, why not let him run? It was great last year, right? They lost all those games.
Yeah.
Like, if they had won 12 games,
they were so bad. I get it,
but I think part of what they're trying to do is, like, look, that's not a sustainable style of play, but it's not a winning style of play for us.
I get it, but they've gone from 0 to 60, yes. or from 60 to 0.
Right, they need to settle somewhere.
It's one thing to say he has to play a little more from the pocket. It's another thing to say, we're just taking running out of the game completely. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, right now it's a 15-game audition for Justin Fields in terms of him being their franchise quarterback. Because here's the deal. Not only do the Bears have their own draft pick in 2024 in the first round, they have the Carolina Panthers first-round draft pick.
Which could be high.
If front offices are only as loyal as their options. And they'll have more options.
Well, and why would they be? Look, that quarterback class, the five picks in the first round, five quarterbacks went in round one. Trevor Lawrence will get his fifth-year option picked up, obviously. Zach Wilson?
Yep.
Nope.
Probably.
Trey Lance, already traded. Justin Fields, major question mark. Mac Jones, major question mark. That's a fascinating draft class.
Environments matter.
All right, I got to let this guy go back on the radio. One sportsmanlike, coast to coast, ESPN Radio, every weekday morning. You're the man, CC. Good to see you.
We would have never heard of Chris if he went to Cleveland.
As we continue, will Zach's history against Bill Belichick haunt him on Sunday? Both teams desperate. We're talking about it next. Get up on a Friday on ESPN. You are watching Get Up. We are presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. And the next game is called Who You Got? We look ahead to Sunday's matchups. Mike Tannenbaum, we got Kenny Pickett against Jimmy G on Sunday night. Who you got?
I'm going with Jimmy G. He's playing better football right now. Kenny Pickett looked great in the preseason. It hasn't translated. And the Raiders certainly are on defense, but not on offense. And I expect that to continue this week.
A couple desperate 0-2 teams. Graz, as we look at Justin Herbert and Kirk Cousins matching up. Who you got?
I'll take Herbert. And thanks for giving me a better one than Pickett versus Garoppolo. I don't know who I would have taken there. Herbert, look, you're right. This is like the highest consequence game of the whole weekend. One of these teams is going to be 0-3. Both of them thought they were going to be in the playoffs. Somebody's not. And I think it's important for Herbert to come up big in this.
Speaking of important, the Jets and Patriots is a monster game. Bart, who you got, Mac or Zach?
I know what I said yesterday, but then I slept on it. And, I'm going Mac Jones. I'm going Mac Jones. Listen, I think he's going to, take care of the ball a little bit better. I think, right now he's playing. You can expect a cleaner brand of football from Mac Jones. But listen, I still got the Jets to win. Don't get it twisted.
Okay, so let's get into this here for a minute. And Mike T and I were talking about it this morning. It is not a secret that I'm emotionally invested in this. And I have made the point that if the Jets coaching staff allows Zach Wilson to lose this game, then that's on them. That is organizational malpractice, and you've got some tape to demonstrate that.
Yeah, agree. So Bill Belichick's going to talk all week is we have to confuse Zach Wilson. We have to disguise. And that's exactly what they did last year. So this is his second interception. Pre-snap, it looks like it's zone, but it converts to man. And early, Zach Wilson has a crosser wide open. He misses it. He extends the play, and he throws a terrible interception. If he had read the coverage correctly, look, Greeny, look how wide open this receiver is. There's no zone defender. It's an easy pitching catch. Zach Wilson holds it, forces it late in the down.
That. Oh, God.
Yeah. Unacceptable. Now, that's the bad news from the Jets' standpoint. Here's the good news. When you cut the field in half and play to Zach Wilson straight and roll him out, he can run and he can throw with great accuracy here to Garrett Wilson. So if I'm Nathaniel Hackett, that's what I'm doing. I'm simplifying his reads. I'm not going to get confused by Bill Belichick, and I'm going to make these sort of plays.
Okay, I like it. And once again, I will make the point, Bart, that the Patriots have not scored more than 20 points in any game in either of their two games this season. The Jets defense wants to be elite. They want to talk about the 85 Bears.
Yes.
You don't allow that team to score more than 17 points. You don't need Zach Wilson to take any chances in this game at all, and you win without it.
Yeah, you do it by running the football. And listen, what they're going to get, because understand it's a new coordinator, so it's going to be a different type of scheme. And what the Jets struggled with was cover one, tight man-to-man coverage. And just imagine Michael Parsons last week, the guy that was moved around. They got a guy named Judon that they can use in similar ways to try and get matchups on this offensive line that has struggled to communicate. Dwayne Brown has to play a lot better. But they're going to have to say, we're going to run the football, and we're going to make sure we throw the ball outside the numbers. I'm waiting to see when Mecole Hardman is going to become a part of this football team, but $6.5 million usually means you get more than 3 to 4 snaps. Nathaniel Hackett has to put ships and motions in to give Zach Wilson the answers to the test. I understand he don't like to do that. Aaron Rodgers doesn't like to do that. He has to adjust and say, Aaron Rodgers is not walking through that door. Let me devise a plan that's suitable for Zach Wilson to have success.
I mean, how about giving some help against the edge rusher, right? I mean, they didn't do anything with Micah Parsons.
It was only a four-man.
Right?
It was only a four-man rush.
I know, but they didn't. Yeah. It's Micah Parsons, right? Like, yeah. You don't think Judon's watching that thing? Well, they're not going to chip me.
Of course,
this is going to be a monster game. But yeah, look, Who was the quarterback last time the Jets beat the Patriots?
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Like, he's on Thursday Night Football.
14 straight games. Yeah.
Like, look. I think it matters to Bill Belichick to beat the Jets.
100%.
I think it matters to Bill Belichick to never lose to the Jets. I think they'll be fired up.
All right, we're going to talk much more about this game, and we will pick the winner in our second hour today. RC is going to join us in a whole lot more on this Football Friday. But we also have a huge event coming up on Sunday. So many people are talking about the Premier Lacrosse League and their championship game this weekend from Philadelphia. It will feature the top-seeded Archers against the Water Dogs for all the marbles. The Archers have won two of the last three meetings between these teams, and you can see all the action Sunday. It's 3 Eastern on ABC and on the ESPN app. And the lacrosse legend has made his way into our studio for the first time. We always talk on Zoom or whatever it is. But it's Paul Rabel, who is also now the president of the Premier Lacrosse League. And so we got the big matchup this weekend with the two stars. We got Michael Sowers, who was this year's league MVP. We got Tom Schreiber was this year's MVP. Sowers was the MVP of the title game a year ago. What do we see with these two guys?
Well, these are the two best offensive players in the world. Michael Sowers grew up in Philadelphia, where our championship game is that you just called out. His favorite athlete was Allen Iverson. He's smaller, but he's really explosive. On the other side, you have Tom Schreiber, who's this year's league MVP. He's had highlights where one of the best feeders the game's ever seen, where ESPN and SportsCenter has side-by-sided him and Magic Johnson, because most of his passes come behind the back, shovel around the world. So this guy is much watched right there. His eyes are always up, and he can also shoot from distance. So if it was Magic could pull up like Steph Curry, that's Tom Schreiber.
And so that's the feature of the matchup there. What are the keys for the folks who don't see a lot of it and are getting set to watch this for the championship game? What are the keys for people to be looking for?
Well, really just two high-powered offenses, but also two great Canadian goaltenders. So you have Dylan Ward on one side, who's sort of the savvy veteran, and then Brett Dobson on the other for the Archers. So depending on where you're coming out, goaltending, like in hockey, can win these big games. So I would keep an eye out on that, but expect some explosive offensive scoring.
All right. So when we knew you were coming in, we said we could run down a list of the top three plays of the season, but why not make you run down the list?
Yeah.
We're putting you to the test here. Top three plays of the entire season, Paul, go.
And there were lots, because we could see them every week on SportsCenter Top 10. This is Mac O'Keefe. So the debate is who invented the step back in hoops. The double step back is James Harden. Not only his agility to bounce up off of his knees against one of the best D-middies in the world, but to then wrap around that shot using Ty Warner as a screen off stick low. Ridiculous goal there by Mac O'Keefe. You'll see him this weekend.
That's number three. How about number two?
Okay, this is Ryder Garnty, and I'll give more, you know, sort of sports analogies. It would be like Brett Favre or Patrick Mahomes sort of escaping this ridiculous pass rush, somehow holding onto the ball and just winging it at the target, and it goes in. These are ones that you just think about and go, wow, how did he keep it in his stick, absorb all that contact, and shoot it to a good spot?
That was the 720 that he did rolling around on the ground and then scored. And then number one.
Yeah, number one here, we're just going to show the best highlight we've had all season. So this is Connor Fields. He gets a little bit of time and room here. He's a lefty, so he has it in his right hand and decides to go through his legs. The key there is an unexpected shot, and that's why he gets by the goalie.
Yeah, a little Roger Federer between the legs
action
there. Outstanding. You know, we've been talking so much about Deion Sanders. We've all seen it. And he's got the lacrosse stick that you see in the office there all the time. I didn't know anything about the connection. You can see him having a catch every now. What is the connection with Deion and lacrosse?
Well, I think he's supporting his Colorado lacrosse teammates there. And, you know, look, Coach Prime is by far and away the biggest attraction in sports right now. So you put a stick in Deion's hands and everyone's going to sort of, you know, scratch their head, wonder what's going on. He said in a press conference after that if he had grown up with the sport, he would have played it as much as he did football. So good news is Fort Myers, Florida has lacrosse now. Bad news is we didn't get to see Deion playing the PLL.
Well, I mean, the reality, he was a guy who once played in a pro football game and a Major League Baseball game in the same day.
Yeah.
So we know he can jump around amongst the different sports. And then, of course, there is the ever-present connection of Bill Belichick and all of his love of the sport. Every time I've seen Bill, he has always had a lacrosse magazine with him. And obviously, maybe, if and when it ends for him in the National Football League, there's a spot in your league for him.
No, I'd give him my position at the PLL. He can run the PLL if he wants. I think we'd love to find a spot for him as a coach. I love that challenge flag spike. But, you know, this conversation, we have Coach Prime, Coach Belichick, both have lacrosse sticks in their office. That's pretty awesome. This guy has played in 9 Super Bowls, so you're talking about close to a billion people have watched him play in the big game. And then Coach Prime set a record last week with, what, 9 million people tuning in?
Yeah, it was the 5th highest rated game we've ever had, and it started at 10 o'clock at night Eastern time. No, I mean, lacrosse is obviously growing so fast, particularly when my kids are growing up in our part of the country. And it just says here, Paul has a gift for Greeny. Ask him
about it. Yeah, yeah. So, okay, look, Brandon here has just tossed me this has been jersey. All right. I retired in 2021, but Aaron and I are close to the same age. He's a little bit older than me. I know that jerseys are important here. So we said, hey, why not join the old heads here? Aaron is going to come back. I'm a big Aaron fan. I am not. So anyway, I'm getting into my earpiece to cover it up. I'm not covering it up. I like this guy too much.
We can't cover up Aaron.
I like this guy too, and this guy too much.
But we will get a separate, Brandon, I'm entrusting you with this. Thank you very much for that. We will definitely find a spot in the studio for that. Thank you, Paul.
99 is better than 8, isn't it?
Good luck with the game. Well, I mean, it's multiple of 8, one way or the other. Anyway, fabulous to see you. Good luck with the game on Sunday and everything. Always a pleasure. All right, back to the NFL. We'll go in a minute. And it's time for a Purdy party in San Francisco. Are the Niners the team to beat in the NFC? Are the Giants already done? Ryan Clark will join the conversation as we continue in a moment. You're watching Get Up, and I'm getting swag left and right on ESPN.